भूर्यात्मना वानुषिता स्वभावात् करोति यद् यत् सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयेथात्. In accordance with the particular nature one has acquired in conditioned life, whatever one does with body, words, mind, senses, intelligence, or purified consciousness, one should offer to the Supreme, thinking this is for the pleasure of Lord Narayan. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th chapter, 11th canto, chapter 2. Herein, Narada Muni is explaining to Vasudev, the father of Lord Krishna, a beautiful narration in which the essential truths of spirituality are revealed. He describes how Maharaj Rishabhdev, who was a great incarnation of the Supreme Lord, took his birth in this world as the son of King Nabi, who was a descendant of Agnidra, who was a descendant of Priyavrat. And he ruled this world as a great king and spread the glories of devotional service in all directions. And in order to set a proper example for others to follow, what he achieved a certain age in life, he wanted to show that we must detach ourselves from everything for the purpose of self-realization. Although factually, the Lord is the proprietor of everything, and there is no reason for him to renounce anything, because renunciation means to give up the misconception that anything is for our own enjoyment. The renunciation of those who have less intelligence, the impersonalist philosophers, their conception is to own nothing, to not claim any proprietorship to one's body, or to claim proprietorship over anything pertaining to this body. And thus, by disentangling oneself from the network of karmic activities, which naturally comes about due to false identification, then we become free from suffering, and we enter into the liberated state. But those who understand the absolute truth have come to the conclusion, on the basis of the revealed scriptures, that everything is the property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That Krishna is the enjoyer, as he explains in Bhagavad Gita, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram Suradam Sarva Bhutanam Gyatva Mam Shantim Vichchati. And therefore, one who understands this principle and uses everything for Krishna's service, such a person can achieve real peace, everlasting peace. There are two classes of illusion beings in this world. One say that we are completely distinct from God, to the extent either that there is no God, or that there is a God, but that God is so great and so almighty and so omnipotent that you cannot possibly understand him. So therefore, there's no use trying to talk about him. There's no question of trying to think about anything in relation to him. You should simply do your work and know that if you do your work good and do your worship by being honest in this world and maintaining your responsibilities of family life very nicely, then you will get the mercy of God. So this is the conception that we are so distinct from God that we have nothing in common with God. He's so great, we might as well just forget about him and just go on with our work in this world for sense gratification. And others, they say there is no God. So the conclusion is essentially the same, that we should go on with our work in this world for the purpose of sense gratification. And there is another class who say that we are one with God. There is absolutely no difference between any of us and God. And therefore, if everything is God and we are God, then why are we suffering? Then why do we have a separate existence? Then why are we entangled within the elements of this material creation? And the only way to justify this could possibly be is to say that God is formless, you are ultimately formless, and this whole world is just an illusion, it's just a dream. It never existed, it doesn't exist, and it never will exist. And by somehow or other focusing yourself, focusing your mind on religious principles, you can wake up from this illusion and merge again into the existence of the Supreme. But such a person cannot understand that everything is an emanation of the Supreme, and everything has its purpose in the Supreme Lord's will. And this misconception is simply actually another form of illusion. As Srila Prabhupada would say, God can never forget that he is God. God can never come under the potencies of his illusory energy. So there is no sense to this. And such beings, they may for some time through their speculation make many followers, and they may achieve some powers, but ultimately they have to come down again to materialistic activities, because the nature of the soul is to love and be loved. And in this conception of complete oneness, there is no love and there is no lover and there is no object of love. So therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has extracted the very essence of all the knowledge of the Vedas in his philosophy of Achintya Abheda Bheda Tattva. And only by understanding this philosophy properly can we find real peace, real love, and real bliss. That the spirit soul is simultaneously one with God and different. We are one in quality, in the sense that we are emanations from him. In fact, everything that exists is in one sense one with God. Even the elements of this material world, this material creation, although it is the inferior energy, it is emanating from Krishna. It is being controlled by Krishna. In that sense, it is one with Krishna. And the spirit soul also, all the various jivatmas and all the 8,400,000 species of life, we are all emanations from Krishna. And the scriptures explain that the one supreme absolute truth expanded himself into innumerable jivatmas simply for the purpose of having exchanges of bliss and ecstasy with himself through his parts and parcels. Like a ray of the sun is one with the sun, in the same way we are one with God, but we are infinitesimal. We are always subordinate to Krishna. He is Vibhu, unlimited, and we are Anu, just a small portion of that unlimited existence. And real renunciation is to understand this principle, that our body, our mind, our families, and everything that exists is meant for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and to utilize everything for that purpose. The purpose of this human form of life, specifically and especially, is for self-realization. It is not to continue the illusion that I am the enjoyer. You are not the enjoyer. You never will be. And as long as you think you are, you suffer. But when you just recognize the truth that Krishna is the enjoyer and serve him for his enjoyment, then in your natural state, like a fish coming out of the land back into the water, you can be free, you can be liberated, you can be happy in devotional service. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead has nothing to renounce. But when he comes to this world in his form of Rishabhdev, he renounced everything just to show us by his example that we should claim proprietorship over nothing and we should live our life only for self-realization. But before he left, he instructed his 100 sons. And the teachings of the Rishabhdev are one of the most important and instructive parts of all the Vedic literatures. Because although they were taking over the kingdom of the world and performing so many other duties, without transcendental knowledge, you cannot do anything in a way that will elevate yourself or others. Therefore, the most important principle for anyone is to hear the truth and live by the truth. Otherwise, we do not know how to perform any duty in such a way that is actually beneficial to ourselves. So after speaking Bhagavad Dharma, he installed his eldest son, Bharat, as the king of all of the world. And from him, this world became known as Bharat Varsha. And then, 9 of his sons he appointed to be the administrative heads, Kshatriyas, in charge of the 9 islands of this earth. And then 81 of his sons became Brahmins, and they performed yajna and lived according to perfect standards of Brahminical behavior in devotion to the Supreme. And the 9 remaining sons became sannyasis. They traveled throughout the world simply seeing everything as Krishna's energy, seeing the beauty of Krishna in everything. How do we see the beauty of Krishna in everything? This is explained that just as a businessman, because his consciousness is so much engrossed in making money, wherever he goes, whoever he sees, he's always naturally perceiving, what money can I make from this? If a person very much addicted to business goes into the forest, he will see, just this wood. If I were to buy this land, I could cut this wood and I can sell it as timber, and then I could make so much profit. Or I could make it into a tourist resort and invite so many people and make so much money. Anywhere a businessman goes, anyone he meets, he's always thinking how to make money from this situation. And a person is very, very lusty. Wherever he goes, he's always trying to look at some object of lust. He's always trying to fulfill it. Even if he goes to the forest, he's wondering, when will someone come that I could look at? In the same way, a devotee, because he is trained to serve Krishna in every situation of life, whatever he sees or whatever she sees, whatever we experience with our senses, we naturally think, how could we utilize this situation for Krishna's pleasure? If we're in a forest, we think, oh, these beautiful flowers, how wonderful Krishna has made them. And the variety of each leaf on each tree is just the majestic artistry of Krishna. So to be Krishna conscious means to see Krishna everywhere. To be always thinking of serving Krishna in every situation of life. And this is the perfection of our consciousness. So these nine yogendras, they were traveling in this way, and they came to the city of Videha. And there they went and were greeted by the king, whose name was Maharaj Nimi. Maharaj Nimi understood that these great souls had come only for the purpose of enlightening him. So with great, great humility and devotion, he greeted them and offered them sitting places and worshiped them and began to praise them that such great devotees as yourself simply wander everywhere for the purpose of glorifying Krishna and helping others to understand the goal of life. And then he began to inquire, what is the supreme goal of life? What is the supreme occupation for everyone to do? And please tell me about devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because we all know that one who is a pure devotee of the Lord is so dear to the Lord that the Lord Himself gives His life for His devotee. Tell me about this path of bhakti. And of the nine yogendras, each of them began to speak. First, Kavi spoke, and what we are reading today is one of the verses which he spoke. He explained that when one's intelligence is disturbed by the false identification of this temporary world and this body, there is only one possibility to free oneself from this condition, and that is to wholeheartedly take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. And even ignorant people who are completely downtrodden, without any culture, even they could easily cross over this ocean of material existence if they just adopt the practice of devotion as prescribed by Lord Krishna and take shelter of those devotees who are teaching Krishna consciousness. And then he explains that one who accepts this process of devotional service to Krishna will never blunder on his path in this world. Even while running with eyes closed, he will never trip or fall. And the acharyas explain in this regard that the scriptures are our eyes. And if a person is properly situated in serving under the direction of a proper spiritual master, even if he does not know all of the details of the etiquette of the scriptures, or all of the injunctions, still he will achieve the ultimate destination because of his sincere efforts in a path of devotional service. And he explains how the mind is always in a condition where it is in a dream state. Dream state means that we are not this body, we are not the proprietor of anything in relationship to this body, or the enjoyer or the sufferer, but we are dreaming in this way. And devotional service is to wake oneself up from this dream. And the natural way, he explains, by which this can be done is by always remembering Krishna, by offering all of our activities to Krishna, and especially by hearing the glories of the Lord and chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Because by chanting Krishna's divine names and hearing his glories in the association of devotees, we appeal to the mercy of the Lord. It is very important to understand how to keep our life pure through this process. A Vaishnava will never associate with people who are materialistic. Never. Why? Because it is displeasing to Krishna. A materialistic person is someone who is always influencing us by their very existence to forget Krishna. Therefore, a devotee will associate with materialistic people only to the extent that that person is likely to benefit by our presence and come to Krishna consciousness. Only to the extent that it can be an offering to Krishna. But otherwise, we must be very, very careful. Because the strongest power of Maya comes through the association of persons who are too much attached to sense gratification and irreligion. In fact, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that one who is desiring to cross over this ocean of birth and death to associate with materialistic people is more deadly than drinking poison willingly. At the same time, a devotee must be very, very compassionate toward materialistic people. But that compassion is not to allow them to degrade us, but to uplift them. And if there is no possibility of uplifting them, then we must be in another place. And if we follow these principles and live a pure life in holy association, then very quickly, simply by hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, we become delivered from all of the false ego and everything that develops out from the false ego. And we begin to experience real spiritual satisfaction. And for one who is on this path of bhakti, it is explained, there is no impediment as long as we are sincere. And sincerity means to simply adhere to the instructions and the advice of senior devotees of the Lord. No impediment in that even if we have no money, If we have no education, there's no disqualification if we are simply sincere to please Krishna. In this regard, there are many beautiful narrations. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling to Vrindavan, he first came to Vidyanagar, which is close to Navadvip, and there hundreds and thousands of people came to see him. And from there he went to Kulia. Kulia is the place where he forgave the offenses, even of the greatest sinners, and gave them all love of Krishna when they surrender to him. And then he began his journey again to Vrindavan. And there was one devotee. His name was Narasinghananda Brahmachari. And this devotee, he was a brahmachari. Brahmachari means you have nothing. If you have things, you're not a brahmachari. If you have nothing, you're a brahmachari. Providing you're always engaged in devotional service under the instructions of the higher devotees. That is brahmachari. So this Narasinghananda Brahmachari, he was thinking that let Lord Chaitanya enjoy his journey to Vrindavan. So in his mind, he sat down in meditation. And in his meditation, he wanted to decorate the roads in such a way for the Lord's pleasure. So first of all, he constructed a very, very wide, beautiful road. And on that road, he very carefully bedecked it with the most valuable, precious jewels in all the world. And then, for the comfort of the Lord, he brought flowers with no stems, the softest possible flowers, and laid them over the jeweled road, so it would be very soft. And on both sides of the road, he planted beautiful, beautiful bakula trees, fully blossoming with flowers. And at certain intervals, he excavated wonderful lakes with crystal clear water. The water tasted sweeter than nectar. And there were lotus flowers and auspicious birds singing. And then he created very delightful breezes that would cool the Lord. And in these breezes there was scents of all sorts of aromas of flowers. And as Lord Chaitanya was chanting the holy names and proceeding toward Vrindavan, he actually saw the road all around him and the beautiful, beautiful excavations of Narasinghadas Brahmachari. One may ask, how is this possible? How the Lord is seeing with his eyes when it is all being constructed in the mind of his devotee? Because for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he does not see like we see. He is transcendental. As far as matter is concerned, there's gross matter and subtle matter. Although Narasinghananda Brahmachari was creating the whole road with subtle matter of the mind, of his intelligence, the Lord could see it everywhere. The Lord could smell the beautiful fragrances of the flowers. He could feel the wonderful softness of the decorated flowers on the road. Because for the Lord, he accepts our devotion. And that devotion is tangible. It is real. It is not something that is an imagination. When we offer Krishna food or bhoga on the offer altar, he doesn't take the milk. He doesn't take the vegetables or the grains. He takes our devotion. He actually drinks it. He eats it. And if it is done sincerely, he enjoys it. And then the food that is left is prasad. And what is that prasad? That means that Krishna has eaten the food directly. And it is his remnants. And he has endowed within that food his mercy, his grace. And that grace will purify our hearts and awaken love for God within us. So Nrsingananda Brahmachari was decorating the road, and he was sitting for many days, completely engrossed in this service to the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya was enjoying it step by step by step. And then Nrsingadas Brahmachari, Nrsingananda Brahmachari, he came to a point where he could not decorate the road any longer. Just nothing would be decorated. And he did not understand why. He was trying very hard. And then he told the devotees that the Lord will come to the village called Kanai Nathasala, and from there he will not proceed any further. He will come back to Jagannath Puri. And the devotees were struck with wonder. How does he know this? But then sure enough, when Lord Chaitanya came to Kanai Nathasala, just before that, Sanatana Goswami told him, you should not go with so many people. Actually, although the Lord was seeing the road of Nrsingananda Brahmachari, everywhere he went, he was dancing in transcendental ecstasy, with his arms raised, chanting the holy name. And people were so attracted to his chanting and his dancing that more and more people were coming to follow him. And soon there were thousands, and tens and thousands, and then hundreds and thousands. Then there was millions of people following him. No one could give up his association. People were leaving their homes, leaving their businesses, leaving their families, leaving everything just to follow the Lord. And they were all just running, walking, dancing. Everyone was behind the Lord chanting the holy name. But Sanatana Goswami told him that, my dear Lord, to go to Vrindavan with so many millions of people, you will not enjoy the atmosphere. It is a solitary place. Better you go back to Puri and come to Vrindavan alone. So in Kanai Nathasala, Lord Chaitanya decided that, yes, this is good advice. So he returned. This was the power of the meditation of Nrsingananda Brahmachari. And there's another story in this regard. One time Lord Chaitanya, he told the nephew of Shivananda Sen, Shrikanta Sen, you go to Bengal and you told the devotees, do not come to Jagannath Puri this year because I am coming to Bengal. Every year, all the nice devotees of Bengal would have a pilgrimage to Jagannath Puri and spend 4 months with Lord Chaitanya and celebrate Ratha Yatra with him and so many other festivals. So when this news came to the devotees in Bengal that Lord Chaitanya is coming here, they became very happy. They were so overwhelmed with joy. And they were just waiting for that day. And he was expected to come during the months of December and January. So Jagadananda Pandit, Shivananda Sen, and the other devotees were simply waiting for the Lord to come. And every day that went by, they were becoming more and more disappointed because he did not come. And as the months was coming to an end, they were becoming very much unhappy. And one day Nrsingananda Brahmachari came and he sat in his meditation and he told them that the Lord is in Panihati, and tomorrow he's coming to your house, Shivananda Sen. So Shivananda Sen and Jagadananda were very happy. So Nrsingananda Brahmachari said, "I will cook for him. Bring me the proper ingredients." And the next morning, he explained to Shivananda Sen exactly what to bring. And Shivananda Sen brought all the ingredients. And Nrsingananda Brahmachari spent the whole morning cooking. And he made very nice sabjis and cakes and grains and sweets and so many nice preparations. And then he divided it into three parts, because there were three deities on the altar. There was the deity of Jagannath, there was the deity of Lord Chaitanya, and Nrsingananda Brahmachari himself was personally a devotee of Lord Narasimhadev. So he made a plate for Lord Narasimhadev. And after putting it very nicely, he came out of the temple and he began to offer it in his mind. And then within his mind, Lord Chaitanya appeared in his beautiful, beautiful golden form as a sannyasi. And he ate all the food on his plate. And then he went and ate all the food on Lord Jagannath's plate. And then he went and ate all the food on Lord Narasimhadev's plate. And Narasinghananda Brahmachari became very ecstatic to see this. Tears were flowing from his eyes in transcendental love. But at the same time, he was very disturbed. And he began to speak to the Lord in his meditation. He said, "My Lord, you have eaten your food, that is very good. And you have also eaten Lord Jagannath's food, that is also very good, because you are non-different than Jagannath. But you also ate Narasimhadev's food. And he is my master, my Lord. And if the master does not eat, then how will the servant live? Actually, Lord Chaitanya is also non-different than Lord Narasimhadev. But he was feeling this way out of his love." So then Lord Chaitanya just smiled at him and left, and went back to Panihati, and then went back to Jagannath Puri. And Shivananda Sen saw that Nrsingananda Brahmachari looked very unhappy. He said, "What happened? Why you are so unhappy?" He said, "Lord Chaitanya came, just as he promised. He came to your house." And he left. He went back to Jagannath Puri already. But the problem is, he ate Narasimhadev's food. "So please get more ingredients so I can cook again for Lord Narasimhadev." So Shivananda Sen could not understand what this all is. But he understood one thing, that Narasimhananda Brahmachari was a very exalted soul. So he brought more food, and Narasimhananda Brahmachari cooked and offered it to Lord Narasimhadev, and was very happy. And the next year, when all the devotees came to Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya said in front of all of the devotees that during the month of Posha, January, December, he said, "I came to Shivananda Sen's house and I ate so many nice sabjis and sweet cakes and grains that were cooked by Nrsingananda Brahmachari. Such food I have never enjoyed before in my life." And when he spoke this, Shivananda Sen understood that actually Nrsingananda Brahmachari had brought the Lord. So this is the power of bhakti. That devotion itself is so attractive when it is pure, unmotivated, that the Lord cannot resist from reciprocating with the love of his devotee. But that is not just a sentiment. The love exhibited by Nrsingananda Brahmachari and other such great souls are expressions of total surrender for the pleasure of the Lord. And this is the ultimate goal that we should aspire for in our lives. One time the devotees came to Jagannath Puri, and they came just on the day when there was a beautiful boat festival at a place called Narendra Sarovar. And the deity of Lord Jagannath, the Vijay Murti, named Govinda, comes out every year and is put on a boat. For the pleasure of the Lord, it is said that this Govinda deity is none different than Jagannath himself. And he comes out, and they put him on boat, and the devotees go into the water with the Lord, and they have wonderful, wonderful festivities, taking the Lord to so many different places and letting him sail in the sweet breezes of Narendra Sarovar. And meanwhile, Lord Chaitanya and all of the associates from Bengal were very happily swimming in the water and celebrating the glories of the Lord by chanting his holy name. After this, Lord Chaitanya arranged for them to all have nice prasad, and then he arranged for them to all have nice places of residence to rest. And it was arranged that the next morning they would all meet at Lord Jagannath's temple. So they all came early, early morning. And they saw the beautiful darshan of Lord Jagannath. And after this, Lord Chaitanya took everyone and asked them to have a wonderful kirtan. And he divided the devotees into seven different groups and have a tumultuous kirtan with all seven groups. And the devotees began to chant. And as they were chanting, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was inducing them to chant louder and louder. He was saying, Haribo, Haribo. And then the devotees, very, very loudly, so loudly that it just completely covered the whole universe with the sound vibration, they were all chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And then Lord Chaitanya began to dance. And as he danced in the middle, all the seven groups came and gathered around him. And he began to recite a beautiful verse that, let me surrender to my head at the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath by singing and dancing in the temple of the Lord, Jagmohan. And as he began to dance, he covered everyone with his tears. And his hairs began to stand up like the thorns of the shamuli tree. And from each of his pores of his body was flowing incessantly both blood and perspiration in ecstasy. And his voice was choked up. And each of his teeth became separated from the others, and they were all appearing, chattering, as if they were going to all fall out. And his body became very pale and started changing colors. These are all symptoms of Mahabhava, symptoms of ecstasy that only the Supreme Lord Himself can demonstrate. And He was chanting and dancing, and sometimes He would leap in the air and sometimes He would twirl around, and all the devotees were just struck with wonder, and they were all dancing along with Him. And King Prataparudra from a distant place was watching, and all the queens were watching, and soon the local townspeople, the shopkeepers, everyone started gathering around, and there were thousands chanting the holy names and dancing in transcendental love. This dancing went on for hours and hours and hours until it was the middle of the afternoon. And then Nityananda Prabhu, He stopped all the kirtans except one, because there were 7 kirtans. And He told Swarup Damodar to chant very softly. And then He told Lord Chaitanya, the devotees are very tired. They are very fatigued. You have to let them rest. So hearing this, Lord Chaitanya stopped the kirtan after dancing throughout the whole day. And then he took his devotees and they all went to the sea to take their baths. And then they all took prasad together. And they all went back to their respective residences. Lord Chaitanya went to his home, the Gambhira. And right in the doorway, he lay down. Now each day after kirtan, the Lord's servant, Govinda, would massage the feet and the legs of the Lord. But on this day, he could not get in the room in order to massage the legs of the Lord, because the Lord was laying right in the doorway. So the Lord was in a sleeping condition. And Govinda said, "My Lord, please, can you move so that I can massage you?" And Lord Chaitanya said, "I am too tired, I cannot move." And then Govinda, after some time, he said, "My Lord, I want to massage your legs. Can you kindly move so I can come into the room?" And Lord Chaitanya replied, "I am too tired, I cannot move." And then he said again, "My Lord, can I just move? Can you move so I can come in? I want to massage you." And he said, "Do it or don't do it, whatever your mind says." So at that time, Govinda took a piece of cloth, the Lord's own cloth, and covered the Lord's body with it. And then he stepped over the body of the Lord to go into the room. And he began to massage his feet, and massage his legs, and massage his back. And after about 45 minutes, Lord Chaitanya woke up, and he saw Govindas inside the room, massaging him. And Lord Chaitanya said, "Why are you still here? Why have you not taken prasad?" It was the policy of Govinda that he would not eat anything until after the Lord. He would not eat anything until after all of his seva was performed. After Lord Chaitanya would take prasad, Govinda would massage him, and then after massaging, he would take the Lord's remnants. But on this day, Lord Chaitanya saw that he was still in the room. So therefore he could not have taken his prasad. He asked, "Why have you not taken prasad?" And Govinda said, "Because you're laying in the pathway. I cannot get out of the door without stepping over you." And Lord Chaitanya said, "But you stepped over me to come in the room. So you could also step over me to go out of the room." And Govinda remained completely silent. He said nothing. But in his mind he was thinking. That my Lord, I stepped over you so that I can serve you. And I am willing to commit unlimited offenses. I am willing to go to hell if that will serve you and please you. But I am very, very fearful to commit even the slightest shadow of an offense for myself. In this way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specially performed this pastime just to show the pure desires of his devotees. And one who has this devotional mood that I am for Krishna, I am for Krishna's pleasure, such a person, there is no impediment for his pleasing the Lord in every situation of life. The path of devotional service is meant to bring us to this stage of consciousness, which is the natural constitutional position of the soul. Anything less than this, we have to remain birth after birth after birth in this material world. We should utilize each moment of our life to progressively advance in this process of purifying our hearts. Purifying the heart means to give up the idea that I am the enjoyer and to develop the feeling that I am the servant. And this humility is the greatest strength in all of creation, because it is this humility of service that attracts the power of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to protect us and to carry us over all obstacles. Ananyas chintayanto mam yejana pariyupashate. Krishna says in Gita that for those who are my devotees, I will preserve what they have and I will carry what they lack. Krishna is a person, and we must learn to approach him as a person. And that person has appeared within his name. That person has appeared within the sound vibration of his pastimes and his teachings. And especially that person is manifesting himself through his devotees. And if we learn to worship and honor the Lord and his devotees, and we learn to chant and hear the glories of the Lord amongst them, then we can experience Krishna always in our lives. The beautiful deities of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath are the center of our activities within the temple. It is through the glorious Lord who has appeared within this form that we can completely focus our minds and attention, and we can work cooperatively for his pleasure. when devotees cooperate together, this is most pleasing to the Lord. And he will bestow his greatest blessings when he sees this. And devotees must work together to deliver the compassion of the Lord, the mercy of the Lord, to those who are unfortunate, to those who are suffering, to those who are bereft of spiritual joy. Devotees should never be against anyone. We are against illusion. We are against ignorance. But we must always try to extend ourselves to elevate those who are suffering. Otherwise, devotees have no business being in cities. Why great acharyas like Srila Prabhupada traveled all over the world? There was no association of devotees anywhere for him. But out of love and compassion, he wanted to give Krishna to everyone. And he asked us, if we become strong together, if we derive real pleasure from hearing the glories of the Lord and chanting his holy names in association with one another, then this association will become so powerful that can attract so many people in this world of birth and death to come to the platform of eternal love. And that is our mission. That is our hope in life. And if we desire this, that desire in and of itself is most dear to Krishna. Even if on the material level, if you want to perform some service and you fail, it is a success in the eyes of God because you wanted to do it sincerely for him. From Nrsingananda Brahmachari's story, we can understand this. We may have a great desire to do some nice service for the Lord, and on the material platform, it may fail. But in Krishna's heart, according to the sincerity of your desire, it is a success. He has accepted it. But we must know, we must express our desires by utilizing our full capacity to try to make that service an offering to the Lord. In this way, Maharaj Kavi explained the transcendental bliss that one derives from the path of devotional service and how through serving Krishna, which begins with hearing and chanting and associating with sadhus, we can actually be delivered from our false ego, our mind, our intelligence, and all the miseries of this material world. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.